Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope this morning. We're really glad to have you both here in the room with us and with us online if you're joining us there. This has been quite the morning, because of course, because Pastor Rich is gone and I'm preaching, you know the technology went sideways, right? I think we've got it though. I think we're good. So we're gonna pray before anything else gets started, before anything else can go wrong. How about that? So join me in praying if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here. We are so thankful that you've invited us into your presence here this morning. Lord, in spite of the tech glitches and the stuff that happens and all the frustrations that are just part of trying to do this with excellence, we're so thankful that you, Lord, are the same no matter what, and that your word is going to be proclaimed regardless of any technology that may go wrong. We give you all the honor and praise this morning as you've gathered us here, and I'm again thankful for your presence and thankful for the power that you give each and every one of us to live day to day. Be with us in this service. And above all, may you receive all the honor, glory, and blessing in everything that we say and do as we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, our worship leaders are here, and so I invite you, if you're able and want to, to stand with us as we continue our worship in song this morning.
Good morning. I missed y'all. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a savior then. You are a savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. You freed the captives then, you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come fill me again. Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again.
Amen. So like I said, I really missed you guys. I don't know if you know or not. I wasn't just, gone, not playing music. I was at camp. And so that took out my voice every single time. And then I caught the dreaded sinus infection that everybody has. So I might sound a little lower today. We'll work through it. But I'm so blessed to be here.
God of creation. There at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you Don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still fall shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Oh, oh, God of salvation, you chased out my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? The one who never leaves the one behind. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. If it's bandaging the broken or washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm poor or if I'm wealthy, I'll serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. on the mountain or the valley, Lord, I will choose to praise. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. Oh, I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. Oh, I love you. If the truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway. Here I am, Lord, send me. If it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. Oh, I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. Oh, I love you. When I'm standing in your glory, I'll be glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. Oh, I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. Oh, I love you. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. Oh, I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. Oh, I love you. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Amen.
Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for another day here with you, Lord. Father, if we're known by how we love you, Father, just let that continue to separate us from the world, that people will see that this is how Christians walk their life, that we love people around us in every way we can, Father, that we go out of our ways to love on people, Father, that we're a church filled with people that say, Father, here I am, send me. We just thank you so much, Father, for everything you do for us, Lord. We thank you that our Pastor Judy is preaching today, because she's one of those, here I am, Lord, send me, coming back from Brazil, Father, to preach here on Sunday. We just thank you so much, Lord, and we ask that you bless her words today, that you speak through her, Father, and that you let her sermon just resonate in our hearts. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May we pass the peace.
Okay, as we're kind of finishing up here in-house, there are a couple of things that we want to let you know about that are coming up. This past Tuesday, Women's Bible Study got started, and you are still welcome to join that if you're able. It's going to be Tuesday afternoons from 1 to 2:30 here at the church, right, Tammy? Tammy is leading the Bible study, and she has books. If you have not been able to take advantage of that yet, it's not too late. They just are getting started. So see Tammy after the service if you want to participate in that. And then Wednesdays through October 29th, which that's this Wednesday is the last one, right? Yeah, we're serving lunch here at Living Hope with the Fresh Start food truck out in the parking lot. So is this going to be the last one for the winter? Oh, man. I don't ever get to get over here because of work, my full-time job. But from what I hear, it's pretty good food. So it's your last chance. Yeah, Romeo says it's good food. Okay. Yeah, so Romeo knows his food, too, let me tell you. So. Yeah. Cheese curds. Listen, it's hard to go wrong with cheese curds anyway. So highly recommended, 10 out of 10 from Romeo, to get the cheese curds at the food truck. But they'll be here one last Wednesday from 11 to 2 this coming Wednesday, the 29th. And then how many of you know what next week is, besides November 2nd? Thank you. It's Time Change Sunday. So you will get, the clocks are going to fall back. You're going to get an extra hour of sleep. Or if you forget, although my smartphone reminds me, it automatically changes. But if you don't depend on your smartphone and you forget, you'll actually show up to church an hour early. So there you go. No, but don't forget to change your clocks back. Take advantage of that extra hour. I know I'm going to, for sure. And then if you are needing to get in touch with the church office for any reason, you can do that a couple of ways. One of them is we've got some green cards back on the table back there. You can fill that out with whatever you need to connect with us about and then drop it in the little box back there. Or you can go to livinghope.info/connect. Either way, the church office is going to get that information. And if you need one of the pastoral staff to reach out to you, we're happy to do that. And then if you're giving this morning, again, we can never thank you enough for your commitment and your just generosity so that we as a church can serve our community. And so if you are giving today, you can do that, again, a couple of ways. One is we've got some envelopes back there. You can put your offering in and kind of fill out the envelope and drop that in. Or you can go to livinghope.info/give. I think I got it all in. There we go. In case you hadn't noticed, I've been gone a couple of weeks, and it really is good to be back home here. It really is. And it feels like I've been gone for weeks, which I kind of have. 2 weeks ago, I was in DeMott filling in for my friend, Pastor Kerry Robinson. His family needed to be out of town, and so he asked if I would fill in there. And absolutely, I'll fill in anywhere I can, anywhere that I have an opportunity. And then last week I was in Brazil, and I'm home. I'm still a little jet-lagged, still a little tired, but I'm so glad to be here this morning and sharing with you. But before we get any further into this, I would like for us to just take a second and pray. Lord, I do thank you this morning for your mercies that are new every day, for the ways that I've seen you work, that we have seen you work from one end of the earth to the other. I pray that you'll be with us this morning. May we hear your words and hear your heart in the things that you have given me to share today. Be with us. Thank you for your presence. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, like I said, I just got home from Brazil. In fact, I got home early Friday morning. Like the sun was coming up as we were landing. It was really early. But while I was there, I had the unique privilege of participating in the life of the church where Miguel's dad pastors. Everybody knows Miguel over here. Pastor Alon Santos. Now, some of you, probably many of you, have met Pastor Alon. He's been here to visit a couple of times. And he wanted me to be sure to tell all of you hello from Brazil. So he knows who many of you are, and so he wanted me to greet you on his behalf. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to preach. And that morning, it's kind of inconsequential now, but I preached on the passage of Mary and Martha, which I'm probably going to share with you guys sometime soon. Maybe the next time I get to preach at the end of December. But anyway, there's a lot in there, and it's from a little different perspective. It talks about discipleship and the posture of our hearts. But we're not going to talk about that today. So one of the reasons I was invited to preach was because the church, and I'll say it in Portuguese, not very well, but it's Igreja do Nazareno, Casa do Evangelho, which just means House of Good News, Church of the Nazarene. So, but they were celebrating the 10th anniversary of that church starting. 10 years ago, this church got started. And I was there when the congregation began in the city of Campinas. And it's funny, I shared that morning by way of greeting them that when I was there, my plan had been to stay for a month. I was between contracts at work. That's a whole big government contract thing. It's not worth going into. But I had time that I could be there. I was going to stay a whole month. It was going to be awesome. It was going to be great. About 10 days into my trip, I got a call from home. My mom was being put on hospice. And I had to get home as fast as I could. And I shared with them how, though I had gone there to minister to them, they actually had ministered to me. They had prayed for me, prayed for my mom, prayed for my travels home, prayed along with me that I would have time to see my mom and talk to my mom before she transitioned from this life to the next. And you know, God was very merciful in that prayer, in that by the time I got to the hospital, it was about noon, I had 6 hours with my mom. It was a tremendous gift. And so I had to thank them. While I went to minister to them, they ministered to me. And they've continued to minister by way of the internet, mostly, because they have their services in the evening. And so I get to go home and have lunch and take a nap, wake up and make some coffee, and then settle in on the couch and watch their service on the internet. And it's kind of cool that I get to be in both places. And I've continued to be ministered to by the congregation there. And it was really a deep privilege for me to be able to be back there to celebrate all of the things that God has done in the life of that church. So as I was reflecting on what I might share with you this morning, I wanted to bring something of substance. You know, all I could think of, and this, you've got to be of a certain age to remember this. Do you remember the slide carousels that would have the little slides on them and you put them in, and the old people who went on their trips, and old when I was young, okay? I'm not saying old that we're old. I'm not necessarily saying that. But, and they would, you'd have to sit there with the lights off and they'd be clicking through and you'd see every single picture they possibly could have taken, and that meant nothing to you, but hours of going, okay. So, and I could have done that. I took a lot of pictures. If you're friends with me on Facebook, and what you saw on Facebook is nothing compared to the pictures I took. But I didn't want to just bring a slideshow. I didn't just want to bring photos of the things that I did and the people I was able to be with. Although, and the food that I ate, which I have to say, the food was fantastic. Pretty sure I maybe brought something more than just my luggage back with me. But you know, they're beautiful places and delicious food and all of that, and I enjoyed all of that very much. But I wanted to bring something back of substance that I could share. So I tried to pay attention to what I was experiencing, to the heartbeat and the rhythm of the church and the Spirit's movement, so that I could bring something here that would be encouraging to all of us. And what struck me first was how similar our experiences are as the people of God. So last month, That was just last month, September, right? It's only been a month, right? Seems like it was a long time ago, longer than a month. But last month, Living Hope, we celebrated 25 years of being a church and of God's blessings on this local body of believers, while House of Good News celebrated their 10 years. Two churches, two nations, two languages, and yet one spirit that's at work among all of us. Both congregations have had ups and downs. We've had victories and challenges. We've had people who've come and gone, and yet both congregations are still faithfully seeking to be the body of Christ in their communities. Not perfectly, but none of us are perfect, right? I'm not, at least. Maybe you guys are. I'm not perfect. But effectively, we seek to be the body of Christ in our communities effectively by the grace of God and with the cooperation, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And that's what gives God glory. Not our perfection, but our persistence. Not our polish, but our partnership with Him. I also had the chance to spend time with several pastors from the district there, and I couldn't help but notice how much we share in common. The pastors in Brazil, like those in our Northwest Indiana district, are once again imperfect people called by God to faithfully shepherd His people. They're women and men striving to lead their local churches to better know and love Jesus and impact their communities for the kingdom of God. Their style of worship might look different than ours. Their music might sound a little different. Their expressions of faith might be a little more exuberant or more reserved, depending on the congregation. Brazilians tend to worship with their whole bodies. We tend to not. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But it is a little bit different. But ultimately, their calling is the same as ours here in Northwest Indiana, and that is to be Jesus with flesh on in the places where God has placed us. This trip, though, I noticed something new. Maybe it's always been there, and I just was paying better attention and just was more aware, but the political atmosphere in Brazil feels strikingly similar to what we're experiencing here in the U.S., Everywhere I went, I heard people debating, despairing over the politics. And I lost count of how many times someone asked me, "So, what about Trump?" To which I often replied with a smile, graciously, "Let's not talk about that. We're just not going to." But even across languages and continents, the same anxiety and division was there, the same frustration, the same temptation to place our hope in leaders rather than in the Lord. And friends, I'm going to be honest. That realization grieved me because it reminded me that our world, the whole world, not just the United States, not just North America, not just South America, not just Brazil, the whole world is aching for hope. And no political party, no personality can ever provide it. Only Jesus can. Another reality that pressed deeply on my heart, as it has every time I travel to Brazil, was the overwhelming poverty that people, so many people, live in daily. Now, Brazil has universal health care and free public education, but many of the other social supports that we take for granted here in the U.S. just don't exist there. And that means people do whatever they can to survive. It's not unusual to see people on the sidewalk selling fruit. Now, maybe they grew it. Maybe it just grew somewhere and they picked it. But it's not unusual to see that, or to find people selling things that they've made by hand, crocheted, or they've sewn. I had forgotten about this until we were headed to the airport to come home. São Paulo is where the airport is, and it's a city of about 19 million people. You think getting to the airport, getting to O'Hare is rough? Whew. Anyway, and the highway there is probably, Miguel, what, 6 lanes wide? Maybe more. It's a big highway. It's a big volume of people. But you will find young men in between the lanes of traffic. I don't know how or why they would think this is a good idea, but they're in between the lanes of traffic, and they've got these contraptions that are holding chips or sweets or phone chargers for your car, for your iPhones, or for your smartphones. They're selling anything that they can get their hands on that they can sell just to survive. These are the risks that people are willing to take in order to make money so they can just survive in their context. And there in Brazil, the divide between the poor and the wealthy is vast. There's a small middle class, an even smaller wealthy class, and then a vast population living in poverty. And I was struck again by how precarious life there can feel, and how much faith it takes to trust God for daily bread when there's no safety net underneath you. Now, let's be clear. Poverty exists here too. We see it every week in our own communities, do we not? We see it in the faces of those who come hungry or lonely or burdened. But one difference I noticed is that in Brazil, many churches don't yet have the same kind of compassionate ministry partnerships that we have cultivated here. They're a little behind the U.S. in just trends in general, especially church trends. They haven't yet caught on to how effective we can be when we collaborate. When churches collaborate together and social services and agencies collaborate with the church, how effective we can be in meeting the needs of people who cannot meet their own needs on a day-to-day basis. And that's why I was so proud and honestly so moved to see House of Good News, though it's a small church and a small congregation, faithfully feeding and clothing their neighbors. They collect an offering very regularly and take that offering and buy the basics of what you would need to eat on a day-to-day basis. And they put them together in packages and deliver them to their neighbors around that church who otherwise may not eat. And they collect clothing and distribute them however it's needed to whoever needs it. And so they may not have much, and they really don't. The folks that are part of that congregation, they're not rich. They're regular. But what they do have, they share. And doesn't that sound a lot like the gospel? Like the loaves and fish in Jesus' hands, it never was about how much we start with. It's about whether we're willing to offer it. Now, as I reflected on all of this, on the joy and the struggle, the beauty and the brokenness, one truth became really clear to me. And it really hung with me as I was flying home trying to sleep, not succeeding very well. But from the oldest to the youngest, from the richest to the poorest, people everywhere, no matter where they are, need Jesus. Whether you're in Brazil or right here in Northwest Indiana, people need Jesus. And we, as part of the body of believers, we are the ones who are called to carry his name, to live his love, to tell his story. We're the ones commissioned to bring light into darkness and hope into despair. And the verses that kept coming to mind, we're finally getting to the Bible. You didn't think I was going to go this whole time and not talk about the Bible, right? But what the verses that kept coming to mind as I prayed about what to share today, probably they're familiar to all of us. And the first one comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus was getting ready to go back up into heaven. He said to his followers there, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Then again in Acts 1:8, just before, again, he ascended into heaven, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, if that sounded a little weird to you, that's probably because we all learned that when we were young in the King James Version. That was the New Living Translation, so it might have sounded a little strange, but that we understand what's happening here is Jesus is telling us that we are to be his witnesses. We are to be the ones that have experienced him and then are then taking that good news of what he can do in us and through us and for us to a world that needs him. Now, for a long time, I'm going to be honest, as a little girl, till I got a little older, I thought those verses meant that to be faithful, to be a faithful witness, I was going to have to go into the farthest reaches of the world, or what I used to think of as deepest, darkest Africa, because that was the only place missionaries ever went, was to Africa when I was a kid. They were the only ones I ever heard from, so this was my five-year-old impression, right? But I've learned something over the years. What I've learned is that Jesus wasn't talking about geography. He was talking about witness. We get so focused on the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria part of this, we forget about the witness part of this. He was saying to start where you are. It's been a little while, quite a little while. But I remember sharing one time how all of us have a sermon, right? Everybody has a sermon. Did you know that? Do you guys know you had a sermon? It's three parts, super easy, super easy. We're all preachers in a certain sense, because our sermon is who we were before Jesus, how we met Jesus, and the difference he's made in our life since then. That is what it means to be a witness, the same witness that Jesus is, that's being talked about and Jesus tells us about in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And so he's saying to start where you are. Begin in your Jerusalem, that is in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, your grocery store, your child's school. Then move outward to your Judea, your region, your county, your networks, your community, and yes, eventually to the ends of the earth. We're not all going to go on to the mission field and go to other places, but we sure can be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, can't we? And then support the people that are going to Samaria. And eventually that good news gets to the ends of the earth. And we don't have to get on a plane to be on mission. This took me a long time to figure out. I was in my 30s. That was a little while ago, but I was in my 30s. And I realized I don't have to go to another country to be a missionary. I'm a missionary in my own home sometimes. I know Miguel's kind of an example of this, but for those of you who may not know, and I know some of you do, but for the last 28 years, Phil, has it only been 28? The last 28 years, the mission field has come to our house in the form of exchange students from all over the world. And it was our second student that we had when the light bulb went on. At least it was only the second one, not the 10th or 11th or whatever, but it was the second student that we had when the light bulb went on and said, and we realized we have a mission field that comes and lives in our house and sits at our table, eats food and sleeps in a bedroom here, and we drive them around and we take them places and we show them things, and we are on mission in our own home. Boy, that changed the way we saw having exchange students in our home. Some of them came as Christians, but some came as Buddhists and Muslims and non-believing or atheists or just didn't believe in anything. Some of them came as Christian in name only, but all of them heard their witness of who God is and who we were before, how we met God and he changed us and who we are now. And it's God's responsibility, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility from there to take those seeds that were planted and bring them to fruition. So we don't need to get on a plane to be on mission. We simply have to open our eyes to the people around us. Because those people in the grocery store, those people on the highway, those people we bump into day to day, we work with them or whatever our situation, they need Jesus too. Not just the people in other countries, not just people in Africa or Brazil or New Guinea or wherever we want to name, whatever country we want to look at, people right here, right now need Jesus. And so friends, I came home from Brazil reminded of something simple but profound. The gospel doesn't belong to any one culture or class or country. The gospel belongs to God, and he's entrusted it with us. And we're part of a movement that spans the whole globe in a church that is bigger than any one congregation or denomination, more beautiful than any one expression, and more powerful than any one people. So whether we're here in Valparaiso or down in DeMott, or we're in Campinas, Brazil, may we be found faithful. May this body, this body that we calls itself Living Hope, may we be found faithful. Faithful to love, faithful to serve, faithful to tell the story of the one who changed everything for us. Because people everywhere, from here to the ends of the earth, need Jesus. And by his Spirit, we are the ones sent to bring him to them. I invite you to pray with me, would you? Lord, we really are so humbled by the fact that a God who is so vast and so big and so holy and so, Lord, loves us enough that you sent your Son to come down, to become human, to die on a cross, so that we could be in relationship with you. So the broken relationship between us could be redeemed and restored and reconciled, Lord. Only you could do that. Only you could do that here in this place, in these people that are meeting together here or with us online, Lord, in the places that we come into contact with, the places where we go, the people that we see, and Lord, not just here, but around the country, around the world, Lord, you are that same God who redeems and restores and reconciles. And you have been that God from the beginning to the end and beyond. Father, I pray this morning that you would make us your witnesses, that you would infill us with your Holy Spirit in a way that we can't help but tell people about who we were before we knew you, how we've met you and the difference you've made in our lives, and how we are different because we have encountered you. Lord, make us your witnesses. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be, I don't know. We just have to be willing to tell the people, tell anybody what it is that you've done and who you are in us and through us. Lord, I again thank you this morning for inviting us into your presence, for inviting us here to your table, Lord. As we partake of the elements of communion, we're reminded, Father, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and gave thanks to you for it. And he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper and saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Father, as we prepare to receive these elements, this bread and this cup, I can't help but stop for just a moment to look at my own heart, for each of us to look at our hearts and let the Holy Spirit show us those places where we have said things we shouldn't have said, or left unsaid things we should have said, where we have done things we shouldn't have done, or left undone things we should have done. For the times that we have not loved you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we've not loved our neighbors, ourselves. Lord, forgive us this morning. And empower us to continue saying yes to you in any way that you ask us. Anything you ask of us, any place you want to send us, even if it's just to the grocery store, Lord, may we say yes to you today and every day. We thank you, Father, and we pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. I invite you to join me in praying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time, the musicians are going to come back up and lead us in one last song as we are receiving the elements of communion this morning. I'll be down front with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. You're welcome to take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and take it. We also have some prepackaged elements in the basket or in a basket in the back, and gluten-free wafers if you need gluten-free. But regardless of how you partake of the elements, you're invited to, as people who are saying yes to Jesus, to join together with believers around the world who are celebrating the same thing today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been saved. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to be. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been saved. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Unending love, amazing grace.
Father, I thank you again for your presence in this place and with these people, Lord. I pray that you will go with us as we go from here into our communities, into our homes, into the places that we run into people who need Jesus. Make us your witnesses. And we thank you and praise you and give you all honor and glory as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.